Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Okay, we're waiting for this laptop to reboot or refresh. Anyway, time for another installment of It's My House. And today we're starting up, this is a new feature that we're going to have here on It's My House. And it deals with paying off debt, strategies to pay off debt. Cut myself off. All kinds of strategies to pay off debt. Student loans, mortgages, reverse mortgages. Impossible. What you might view as an impossible situation type thing. You don't know how you're going to pay it back. So we'll discuss several strategies. We'll have several people on. We'll have people on a weekly basis where you can hear different points of view on how they were able to pay off debt. And we'll have a support group as well, to give people that mental psychological boost they might need to pay off debt. So we're going to go through some of that today. Now, typically, we start our program off with a little motivation. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to that right now, then we'll come back with some strategies on how you can pay off debt, be it student loans or what. Or if you're in the listening audience, call in 619-768-2945. And if you got a situation, let's see if we can tackle it and come up with some strategies right here on air.
Tonight, more Democrats denouncing freshman Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
We usually start our podcast off with some motivational stuff because some people that might be listening, particularly with this series that we're starting off now, Strategies to Pay Off Debt, could use some motivation. They might feel down. They don't know how they're going to pay it, pay off these debts. It could be, like, say, student loans. It could be mortgages. It could be you could be facing eviction, you could be facing foreclosure, you tried to borrow money. And let me put out there, and that's a strategy that a lot of people go for. Now, we don't offer any legal advice or financial advice. We're just putting out ideas, and the people that we have on here, they're going to offer ideas. And it's up to you to do what you want to do with those ideas and your own research outside of our you know, platform. I don't personally recommend borrowing money to pay, in other words, taking from Peter to pay Paul. I don't, you know, particularly if it's real estate based, I don't recommend refinancing second or third. I don't recommend doing any of that. We're going to put out one of these principles today. I guess fundamentals that I go by to extinguish a debt. But because if you just keep on borrowing, you know, to pay this off, then you got to borrow to pay that off, that cycle usually doesn't end. and you're on that treadmill. So the strategies that we want to feature on this particular live stream are strategies that you can use to pay it off and it's done. In other words, let's say you got a $10,000 debt or even a $100,000 debt. And let's say you managed to borrow the money, $10,000, or you borrow $100,000 or whatever. You borrow money to pay off one creditor, but then you're on that treadmill. You got to pay that off. So the strategy that is no strategy, don't borrow. There are other ways to do it, and that's why we're going to have different people on here. Today it's just me, because we're doing the first series on this, strategies to pay off debt. But in any event, more motivation until we get into we're going to get into the technical stuff nonstop. But like I said, we always like to start off these podcasts with some motivation, and the reason why we played that last one with Jamarion Styles, the kid with no arms that made the basketball team, and even when he got into the game, he scored a couple of points, 2 points a bucket. It's because Jamarion represents you can do the impossible, or what most people might think is the impossible, or what most people might think is a handicap. You can do the same with extinguishing any type of debt that you – it might seem impossible, but there's a way to extinguish that debt, probably several ways to do it. In any event, let's get back to Steve Harvey for a little bit more motivation until we get to the top of the hour where we get to the nuts and bolts of strategies to pay off debt.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in.
Okay. That was Steve Harvey, Faith Street. You're going to have to strategy. Well, let me give you two strategies. We got one.
Friends, it is time once again for our daily message of hope. And with today's message, here is Richard Eaton.
Friends, to brighten your day, here is our message of hope.
A man who taught many wonderful truths about life once said, "Make the most of your present opportunities. Make the most of your present opportunities." Let me repeat once again. Make the most of your present opportunities. And the longer I live, the more convinced I am, this is a wonderful piece of advice. Appreciate the present before it becomes the past. Make the most of your present opportunities. So many of us waste our present time worrying about the past or the future. And actually, we can do nothing about either the past or the future. Little sympathy or patience should be wasted on the person who is eternally crying for the good old days or bemoaning that things aren't as they used to be. Naturally, they aren't. Time changes all things, as it is changing you right now. And were it not for change, there could be no progress in this world of ours. Probably a good bit of advice to all of us would be to live every moment as it comes to us, just as though it were the only one we had on earth. To appreciate the present before it becomes the past. Let your life be filled now with love, with happiness, with harmony, with courage, with faith. Too many of us are wasting energy trying to relive the past. And we are putting off our good from day to day, from month to month, and from year to year, so that we never quite catch up with it. Why not live now? Forget the troubles of the past, and stop dreading the future. The expression of our powers and abilities is governed by our thoughts. If our thoughts are dwelling in the past or in the future, our power and abilities will be lessened in the present because they will be trying to follow our thoughts to realms that do not exist. We need all our abilities right now in the present moment. We cannot afford to dissipate them by letting our mind dwell on the past or by worrying about the future. If we live rightly every present moment, we shall have no occasion to mourn over the past. What does it really matter today what happened yesterday or some other day in the past, it is beyond our recall. So it is not worth the effort of worrying about it. Dr. Frank Crane expressed a bit of good philosophy on this matter in his short article called The Past. Says Dr. Crane, a good deal of morbid nonsense has been said and written and thought about the past. The past is irrevocable. We have been told in sermon and story, you cannot escape the past. The past can never be changed. And so on and so on. The whole trend of this thought being that the past is a kind of a Sherlock Holmes, dogging our steps forever, a sinister nemesis, waiting its chance to strike us down, the account book of an angry God, sure to confront us someday. All of this is morbid. Most of it is dramatic. The underlying sentiment of it is false and weakening and septic. As a matter of fact, our past, as Maeterlinck puts it so well, depends on our present and changes with it. Our past depends on our present and changes with it. What the past is depends upon the way you are now using it. Its effect upon your destiny will be gauged by how you translate it into the future. If we brood over the past and weaken ourselves with vain regret, with self-contempt and remorse, then that past will poison and undo us in the present. But no matter what the past contains of our sin or folly, we can, by a right use of it now, make it minister to our welfare. First of all, we can learn wisdom from the past. By it, we can realize our faults to be corrected and our offenses to be atoned for. And with this wisdom, we can go on to better things. The only true repentance is so to use the past as to enable us to build a better future. Weeping and wailing and brooding, those are the luxuries of morbidity. The past is beneath our feet. We can go down into it and wallow in impotent grief, or we can step upon that past to higher things. The great enemy of life is despair. The great friend is hope. Despair paralyzes, ruins. Hope energizes, for we are saved by hope. Face the future. Whatever the past has been, let it nerve you to spend your remaining days in faithfulness and loyalty to your better self. These are the words of Dr. Frank Crane, and I feel he certainly has the right view. Be concerned about your past only to the extent that it can teach you. The mistakes and sorrows of yesterday belong to yesterday. Yesterday provided sufficient time in which to consider its woes. Most of the worries, the griefs, the heartaches that we suffer are nothing more or less than memory of the troubles and hurts that we experienced some time in the past. If we could only remember that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Moffat renders this passage, as a day's own trouble is quite enough for the day. And when you stop to think of it, isn't this true? We can readily understand from this that the miseries or woes of yesterday can enter today or tomorrow only through our memory. Before the end of yesterday, we should have put out of mind every disturbing thought caused by yesterday's situations. Those were yesterday's problems. So let them, along with yesterday, pass from sight and from memory. Let not the sun go down from your wrath is a mighty good bit of advice, or so it seems to me. We should not let the day close with our mind disturbed. It is too late to do anything about the way we let yesterday close. But we can do something about the way we let today close. Let us set today free in order that we may meet tomorrow, another new day, fresh and clean and unused, in the right spirit. Our wrath, mental disturbance, and physical miseries of yesterday have no place in our today. They only serve to crowd out the joys and blessings that are in store for us today. Each new day, a new world will begin for us if we do not carry into it the woes of yesterday. If we have not forgotten the woes of yesterday, we do not really experience a new day. To us, the day is just an extension of yesterday. When we let yesterday's sun go down, finding us wrathful and disturbed in mind, we are not obeying the biblical injunction to forget our miseries. We are not approaching a new day with a clear mind and a clean heart. The wisely given command to forget is a provision for our happiness. Were we to remember all our mistakes of the past, we should not have time to think of the good we want. Thou shalt forget thy misery. What shall we forget? What does the misery include? What comes under the category of wrath of mind? Everything not founded upon God or good and truth. It was meant that we should enjoy today to the exclusion of the wraths and miseries of yesterday. We are not to let one little rankling thought of yesterday sully the purity and beauty of today. You know, friends, the sleep that God gives us at night is but a form of his power to help us forget. Sleep is a vestibule through which we pass from one day to the next. We are to shed all our useless thoughts before we approach the next day. What of the wrongs that someone had committed against us yesterday or some other day? What of our jealousies and suspicions? What of the things we secretly accuse ourselves of? All these must go. We must forget them. They belong to the dream or nightmare of the past in which we have awakened to a new day. Are you willing to obey the command, "Thou shalt forget thy miseries"? You alone can decide. You alone can reap the benefits of forgetting. You alone can decide whether you will spoil this new day, fresh and clean and unused, by harboring the adverse thoughts of yesterday. You alone can decide whether you will today remain in the wrathful state of mind of yesterday, or whether you will make the most of your present opportunities. The things of yesterday brought to your mind, which cause you to be disturbed, are quite insignificant today. Forget them. Learn to wipe from mind every thought that works against your highest good. Enjoy today to the fullest. You can do this only by approaching it with a clear mind, receptive to the good in store for you. Let each new day begin life anew for you, rather than being merely an extension of yesterday. Start out this morning by obeying the command to forget. Make up your mind you are not going to try to carry yesterday along into this brand new day. Erase from your mind any sense of blame, any memory of failure, all thoughts of wrongs of the past. Was it not Ruskin who said, "Let every dawn of morning be to you as the beginning of life, and every setting sun be to you as its close"? Then let every one of these short lives leave its sure record of some kindly thing done for others, some goodly strength or knowledge gained for yourself. Let me repeat, let every dawn of morning be to you as the beginning of life, and every setting sun be to you as its close. Then let every one of these short lives leave its sure record of some kindly thing done for others, some goodly strength or knowledge gained for yourself. It behooves all of us to live in the present in the way that will make of our future that which we wish our present were now. Yes, friends, it's up to us. We can go down into and wallow in impotent grief, or we can step upon the past to higher things. It is up to us. And so, friends, you've been listening once again to our message of hope. God bless you, everyone.
Listen again tomorrow, friends, for another message of hope with Richard Easton. This is UBC, the United Broadcasting Company.
Okay. Now we're done with our morning motivation there, which for some of you who you have these debts that you need to pay off, loans to repay or whatever, and you don't know how to do it. That's why we start off with this morning motivation. In any event, today's podcast is titled Strategies to Pay Off Debt, 619-768-2945 is the call-in number. If you have any comments, suggestions, or what have you, just call that number, press 1, and we'll patch you in on air. Now, strategy number one, regardless of actually, strategy number two, because strategy number one, that's why we spent the last 30 minutes in the start of the show on motivation and positive thinking. It's because you've got, no matter what amount of money you owe, you've got to have, and this is strategy number one. It might seem insignificant, but it's major. You have got to get in a state of mind that it is possible for you to pay off that debt. No matter how large it is, you might not know specifically how when you're starting off. You might not know specifically how you're going to do it. You might be trying to figure out ways on how you can do it, like getting a second job, a third job. All you need to have holding your mind is it can be done and you can do it without borrowing money. And that's why we had so much of this motivational stuff to start the program. So that's strategy number one. You must create a mental and psychological environment that is empowering to you that you can pay off this debt. Now, second strategy, okay, is I suggest you get what I call an accountability partner. An accountability partner is someone, and it could be a partner, one person, or it can be partners, several people. But the common denominator here is when you get your accountability partner, that person must help keep you on track. And it must be done in a positive manner. Okay? In other words, we're putting the cart before the horse on this one. You need an accountability plan. Now, in your accountability plan, this is like, let's say you want to pay back a student loan, okay? And the student loan might be you need to pay back $100,000, okay? So in your, and we'll, by the end of the week, we'll, matter of fact, if you contact us, if you want, the kind of, we'll text it to you for free. With an accountability plan, one of the first things that you must fill in the blank on is your why. Why do you want this loan paid off? The stronger your why, that'll help with strategy number one, which is your positive mental environment, because it could be you want more personal freedom. You could be because you want to spend more time with family and friends. There's an infinite amount of reasons, but you need to have a strong why in your accountability plan. Then in your accountability plan, you need to have action steps. Now, we'll bring on various people to explain how they paid off debt of all different types, student loans, mortgage payments. Matter of fact, let me share with you probably a very high-profile example of paying debts, paying off some debts, and it made them billionaires. And most people that are listening to this live stream right now have heard of these people. The backstory on Airbnb. had to deal with two guys, two roommates in San Francisco at the time, that they were behind on their rent payments, facing eviction in San Francisco. They didn't know how they were going to do it. And if you know anything about San Francisco is very expensive, so you will fall behind on rent, particularly if you go beyond a month. You know, it's kind of hard or almost impossible to even, or it appears to seem impossible to catch up. So one of them came up with the idea of, you know what, let's rent out. They had three bedrooms. They had a three-bedroom apartment. Let's rent out the bedrooms because it was a convention coming to town. So let's rent out rooms to this particular people that are looking for housing for this particular convention that was coming to San Francisco at this particular time. And they got three air mattresses, thus the name Airbnb. The original name was Air Bed and Breakfast. And so they got the three air mattresses, and then one of them came up with a simple website. And, you know, I guess they marketed within the convention community there in San Francisco for this particular convention. And they rented out those three bedrooms. And they made enough from those three rental bedrooms with the simple idea of air, bed, and breakfast, that they made up the money that they needed to avoid eviction and stay in their place and stay in their apartment, because this was an apartment. And they kept on doing it, and they were making about $200 a week income. I guess at this point, after they solved the initial problem of clearing up that, you know, their back rent, you know, this little side hustle, and they were making, what, $800 a month off of that. Then somebody came along and said, well, you know what, why don't you do it, you know, with other conventions that might come to town? And then when they did, and their income increased. Now, mind you, they did not start this to start a business or become billionaires. They just started because they wanted to avoid getting evicted. And somebody else came along and said, you know, why don't you do it in different cities? And then they put together an app and brought in another partner, and these guys are in their 30s now. Three billionaires, air, bread, and breakfast. Now, so I'm saying this. Get you an accountability partner. So the two guys who started, actually the credit is given to three guys, but they bought in the third one later. But the two guys that were roommates, and they came up on this, they were their de facto accountability partners. They were in a situation, and they had a why, because like I said, on your accountability sheet, and if you want a Texas accountability sheet, just send me a text at 863-999-6494. That's 863-999-6494. Send me an app. I'll text you back an accountability sheet. At the top of the accountability sheet was, well, they didn't have an accountability sheet. I don't know what they had, but they had a why. Their why was they did not want to get set out on the street. That was their why. Their simple idea, because what they did, other people were doing it. They weren't the first people to rent out rooms. I mean, renting out rooms is like ancient. But the distinction is, in this case, they thought bigger. They got an app together. They, you know, they did meetup groups. And then, it caught on and it went global. Now it's like in, 65,000 cities around the globe, Airbnb. But like I said, it started off simple. So you need an accountability sheet. You need an accountability partner. Now, in this case, their de facto accountability partners were each other. In other cases, you might have to get a trusted friend or trusted relative, somebody that you can share your accountability, and here's the third strategy, your accountability plan on what are the concrete steps that you need to take on a daily or weekly basis so you can generate the revenue that you need to extinguish the debt. Once again, you're not borrowing. We do not encourage you to borrow not a penny because that doesn't solve your problem. The name of this podcast is Strategies That Pay Off Debt. That does not include borrowing any money. All right. So they were their de facto partners. I don't know if they had a written plan, but the action plan that they took out was, okay, number one, we're going to get some air mattresses. We're going to rent out these three bedrooms. And they put up, a simple maybe one-page website. And that was probably it. And they probably could have taken out some simple ad and, with the marketing of that convention designers, a convention that was coming to San Francisco in this particular case, where they got their first three customers. They didn't even have the app out yet. That wasn't even a thought. That wasn't even in the discussion yet. But that turned, now I'm not saying that whatever you do, you're going to become a billionaire, but that's just one high pro example. You can go on YouTube and read about that. You can hear from the founders themselves in their own words how they did it. But from an It's My House point of view, get yourself an accountability plan. This is the early stages of the concrete how-tos. All right? Get yourself an accountability partner. Because if you got a debt that you have, you solely alone have to pay back, okay? Because in the case of the Airbnb story, they were in a predicament together. So, and they kept it positive. Nobody was saying, well, it's not going to work. They kept each other positive, and it was real simple. Three air mattresses. To go in three bedrooms. One guy put up a simple website. Could have been like a one-page landing page website. And he maybe took out maybe a small, tiny classified ad. And that was it. That was it. All right. So get yourself an accountability. Now, we're going to drop clues like this on a daily, and then we'll bring in different people to tell how they extinguish debt. And some of these people might not be using terms that I'm using. These are terms that I'm using. But get yourself an accountability partner, and then take out a sheet of paper right now, or something simple, and accountability plan. And then now here's another strategy. I got this out of, this is a polarizing person I'm about to name, but hear me out. In Donald Trump's first book, The Art of the Deal, somebody gave me that book for a birthday present. But in The Art of the Deal, Donald Trump's first book, he recommends a strategy that I've used a handful of times and has worked every time. Particularly when it comes to fundraising, or you can use a paying off a debt. He says, take out a sheet of paper and write down six ways that you think you can get this money. Now, mind you, we don't think of ways that you can raise the money without borrowing any money. But write down six ways you think, and don't get stuck now. You know, just think of the first six things that pop out of your mind. Because if you get, a lot of people get stuck on, no, I can't do this. No. Just right now, six ways that you can think it can be done. That's another strategy. Now, one other strategy that I'm going to give for this particular podcast today is, and comes from the Bible. You can be a stone-cold atheist on this one, but this is a strategy that's ancient and it works. You do not have to believe in God at all for this particular strategy. But it is recorded in 2 Kings, this is the Old Testament, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. And I'll do a quick overview of what that particular fable or scripture, whatever you want to call it. Okay, I'm looking at this in a non-religious way. But it gives you some good, I think it gives you a good formula on how to eliminate debt. Now, in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, there was this widow. The widow had two sons. When her husband died, she was immediately faced with the task of settling her husband's estate. And if she didn't settle her husband's estate, and part of her husband's estate is he owed money to some creditors. If she did not settle with the creditors had a legal right to come and take her two sons in lieu of payment of her husband's debt until they worked off her husband's debt, then they could return home. But that could be years later. So she didn't want to have her sons go into debt slavery because that's what would have happened. Her two sons would have gone into debt slavery, working off their father's debt. So what she did was she went to somebody for, somebody that was financially literate in her particular situation. And this person told her, look, what do you have in your home that could possibly settle the debt? So the lady, the widow said, essentially, and I'm giving you the It's My House version of this scripture, okay. Hey, look, I don't have nothing in my house other than a pot of oil. Now, the Bible, Old and New Testament, or the Torah, because this comes out of the Old Testament, the Jewish books just call it the Torah, is basically written in, is heavily written in symbology, and symbolism, and they have idioms in there, and oil represents something valuable. Okay, and some people read that, go through this verse and look at it was just literally a little cursor or a pot of oil, but it's an idiom. So essentially, he was asking, what do you have that is of value? So she said, oil. Now, we can break this down into a whole lot of things. We're not going to do this today. I'm just going through a quick thing of it so you can get the point and get working on something. So this person advised her. She said, now, let's look at her assets, because she had some assets. And we all have assets. Whatever we, no matter how big that debt is that you have to pay off, it could be for back rent like the dudes from Airbnb. It could be a $100,000 student loan. It could be a $200,000 reverse mortgage that you had to pay off. It, whatever it might be, what you get from this particular scripture, 2 Kings 4:1-7, or you can call it a fable, whatever fits you, is this. Whatever you need to pay off that debt, you might not recognize it right now. You might not see it right now. But whatever you need, be it so humble, you have what you need as the first step, the first concrete step, the first scientific step to extinguish that debt 100%. So let's take inventory. Let's take financial inventory of what this widow lady had to pay. I mean, what tools did she have? What assets did she have to pay off the debt? Well, number one, two sons. That's human capital. So if she wasn't going to put those kids to work, her two sons to work, by coming up with a plan, then the creditors were going to take the two sons and use them as slaves and make money with them that way. So she was smart enough by taking this guy's advice, who was the prophet Elijah. And so she had two sons, and that represents human capital. So she already had that. Two assets right there. Number three asset is, she said, now she discounted it at first as it was worthless, but the guy who gave her advice knew it was something valuable. The curse of oil, and the curse of oil, which is an idiom, basically represents anything of value. It could, like, well, let me relate it to the Airbnb dudes. They had three bedrooms. That's what they had. But they monetized those bedrooms, air mattresses, and then the other guy, so they had three empty bedrooms. Then they had a website. The guy came up with a one-page website. So they created four financial assets. I mean, that's what they had. And they turned that into a billion-dollar business. The three bedrooms that the guys who started Airbnb, that was their oil. The website, page website, to get the three people to rent out those three bedrooms, that was also part of their oil. Your oil could be any idea or any, I mean, it, you know what? It could be a bedroom in your house that you can rent out. Or it could be, maybe you know how to make a good apple pie. You know, that people would readily buy. So it's anything that you have control of that's close to you already, that if you recognize it and monetize it, that could be what you need to pay off the debt. So getting back to 2 Kings 4:1-7, so she had two sons. They were financial assets as human capital. So she did as she instructed her two sons. Matter of fact, let's go to the next asset. Her two sons and her essentially formed a business, a family business. Their holistic strategy for selling her husband's estate, their father's estate, was, you know what, let's start a family business. And here was the business, because they were instructed to the two sons to go out into the community and gather up empty vessels, borrow empty vessels. So they borrowed as many vessels as they could. They brought them back to the house. They shut the door, and then she proceeded to pour the oil into the vessels. Now, this is an ancient parable, people. What if the guys with Airbnb did? They only had three bedrooms. They advertised those bedrooms because that was their oil. They advertised those bedrooms, but then somebody came along several months later and said, you know, why don't you do other conventions? Then why don't you do other places in San Francisco? They made billions of dollars without buying one single property. They essentially partnered with people who already owned real estate, who already had bedrooms, who already made a capital investment. So that was their oil. We'll do the marketing. You have the bedroom. We'll do the marketing. That's their oil. And they came up with the app. That app is their oil. You got the back room. You got the tree. You got the treehouse. You got the spare bedroom. You got the spare garage. You got the backyard. That's their oil. So in any event, they formed a family business, and the lady was symbolically pouring that oil into all those containers, and then after everything was filled up in those containers, she went back to the financial guy, financial literacy guy, which is another asset. She was smart enough to, if you don't know something, go to somebody who does know something. That's what she did. That's another strategy. And then he said, sell what you have, pay off the debt, and live off the rest. End of that story, 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. I suggest, like, you can be an atheist. Go read that and just meditate on it and see what it speaks to you. But like I said, that's why I brought up the example of Airbnb. Another example, Bethune-Cookman College. When they were, which was started by a black woman, Mary McLeod Bethune, when they had financial problems in the early days of her opening up that school, which is a university now in Daytona Beach, Florida, when they needed money, what they would do often is they would bake sweet potato pies. That was their oil. And he would sell the sweet potato pie by the slice, like something like a quarterback then or whatever. And that's how they were. That's one of the ways in which they make ends meet. All right. So, all right. Let's keep things real simple here. All right. Whatever debt that you have, number one, you need to stay in a. You need to create a positive mental environment that you can pay off that debt, no matter how large it is. You know how many, no matter how many times the phone rings or threatening letters that you get, you got to keep your mental attitude. Number two, get yourself an accountability partner. This is somebody that will help you. You're not borrowing any money from these people. These people are providing you with mental, psychological, and spiritual support that you can pay off that debt. You might not know how, but your accountability. Now, you can sit down with your accountability partner and come up with the accountability plan, something in writing, on, you know, once you come up with an idea, which will be your oil, they can keep you on track on a daily basis or a weekly basis, whatever you two agree on how you're going to be, you know, what steps do you need to take. Like I say, with Airbnb, I love the example of them because it was real simple. We got three bedrooms. Oh, don't forget, you need a why. They needed to, the why was on their account. And I'm just going from what I'm saying. Their accountability plan, because you need something that's a motivating factor. And for them, it could have been they didn't want to get set out on the street. Let's go with that one for right now. All right. With the accountability plan, it gives you the steps that you take, and it can be simple steps. With them, they had three bedrooms. They turned what looked like a liability, because they were facing eviction, they turned the liability into an asset. Many of you, that's what you're going to have to look at. You're going to look at, how can you turn that liability into an asset? In their case, they took the three bedrooms while they still had legal control. They got those three air mattresses, and then they advertised it, and it worked out. So have accountability plan. Within your accountability plan, the first thing is you need to have a why, and then your accountability partner or partners, because they bought in another partner, so it's three people at Airbnb, the founders. And then they started, as they expanded, they advertised, what's the meetup groups? And they did meetup groups around the country. And those meetup group members were their de facto partners as well, accountability partners. Okay. So whatever debt that you might have, and like I said, now we're organizing a support group. If you're interested, in a support group, our support group, just give me a call at 863-999-6494. That's 863-999-6494. Doesn't cost anything to join. So you'll be tapped into other people that, you know, you can get support from. Now, and we're talking about mental support, psychological support when it comes to, there ain't no borrowing money here. But whatever debt that you have to pay, there's a way to do it. And like I said, that's the first step. You might not know the mechanics of how to pay, but trust and believe, whatever you need to pay, you have within your mitts. You always have within your mitts what you need as the first step, or two or three, to meet that might seem impossible. Going back to 2 Kings 4:1-7, the widow lady didn't know how she was going to do it. But then after talking to somebody who helped her recognize her financial assets, she had two sons as human capital. She had the curse of oil, and oil represents any idea or any asset that you have that's not used. Translating that into, like, that's why I told the story of Airbnb and Mary McLeod Bethune. For Mary McLeod Bethune, it was sweet potato pies. For Airbnb, there were three empty bedrooms. I know of a guy that he got out of a hole by doing Uber and Lyft, because he just does airport runs from 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 a.m. in the morning. He does airport runs. But let's go back to Uber and Lyft, which are basically apps, because they basically use the same. I mean, you can say they use the same formula as 2 Kings 4:1-7. Because Uber and Lyft, they don't own those. They don't own your car. If you're an Uber driver or a Lyft driver, they don't own your car. You put the capital investment in that car. They didn't. But they've got the marketing part, all right? They know there are people that are looking for peer-to-peer rides. You know, they don't want to pay a taxi or nothing like that or a limo. But, you know, then you have people that are doing gig runs by doing grocery shopping for people. That's why I recommend 4-7. I'm going to play this one clip that I've played on here quite frequently. And then after you hear it, I'm going to give you my interpretation on how you can use this to pay off some larger debts.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well, Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on. With no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Now, for some people, and let's refer back to the ancient fable or scripture, whatever you want to call it, 2 Kings 4:1-7. His oil was building, he built that cabin by himself. Took him, what, about a week or two? Let's put it at 2 weeks. That was his strategy, where he's off-grid, no electric bill, no water bill, no mortgage payments. He built, once again, as you heard from himself, that's Lamar Alexander, he built that cabin for $2,500, and we'll be doing live events, folks, on how you can do the same thing. He built it, the cabin, for $2,500 for the power of it, you know, for electricity. He used solar. He spent did he say 2,500 or I think he said 5,000? Okay, for the solar system. So we're talking about, let's say, on a high end, $7,500. That's for the cabin, $2,500 for the cabin, $5,000 for the solar. No, he spent, I think, $3,000 for the solar. $2,000 for the cabin, and $3,000 for the solar. $5,000 total. Those are the figures, okay? Now, let's say, now, he's got a debt-free house. But let's say Lamar, or whatever your name is out there, and that's why we shall be doing these live events, where you can catch us by Zoom. We can teach you stuff on real time if you're away from us. Or you can join us on location where you're going to get hands-on instruction on how to do. We'll be doing what that guy talked about in that video with our live events. But here's the twist, though. Okay. He built the cabin along with the power system for $5,000. Let's say, and instead of using Lamar Alexander's name, let's say whatever your name is, let's say it's you. You come to one of our live events, and you've learned how to do this. And let's say you've got $50,000 loan or debt that's due this year, by the end of this year, December 31st. You got to pay it. Or there's going to be some consequences. The consequence is your why. That goes at the top of your accountability sheet. The people that you, now, Lamar did it. He built that by himself within a couple of weeks. I'm going to play this next audio because I recommend that you get some accountability partners. You build that structure quicker.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, "What y'all finna do?" He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Okay. Now, in that audio, which I call nine friends, more likely it was like 18 friends, they had, he said that there were nine pickup trucks that drove up. Let's say there were, on average, at least two people in each truck. So nine times two is 18, plus the guy who bought the house. So you got a crew of 19 people. Now imagine if you had 18, 19 people that would help, because it took Lamar, let's say, 2 weeks to build, that cabin by himself. But if you got 18, 19 people, that can be done in a matter of hours. Okay. Once again, you've got, some of you are a phone call away as a start to paying off that debt. Because in the case of the, you know, the people that rehab that house to make it look brand new, within a matter of hours, in less than 12 hours, in less than 12 hours, he made phone calls. But we'll have a live event now. Let's continue with this. Let's say you learn how to do what Lamar did, and then you get some accountability partners, achieve that goal within a matter of hours, and in this case, fix up the house. Or in the, actually build a house, not fix up one, because we're using the Lamar Alexander solar cabin example. Now, he spent $5,000 to build it. Once again, $2,000 for to build the cabin. And that's why we're doing these live events, so you can actually participate with this stuff and actually see it. And that way, it once you do it, you know it. And $3,000 for the solar, so a total of $5,000. Now, that was his oil. That can be your oil. Now, let's say you got a $50,000 debt that's due by the end of this year. Once again, on your accountability sheet, that's your why. You've got to pay that off. Now, getting the second job ain't going to cut it. Getting the third job ain't going to cut it. Some of you are playing a lottery. I wouldn't count on it. But people do need housing. People need a whole lot of things. I'm just using housing as an example. So what if you and your team, that's what you did on weekends. You get together, and every weekend, you build a solar cabin. And let's say you turned around and you sold the house for, $20,000. So you recover $5,000 for, you know, your cost of materials and $5,000. I'm sanitizing these figures, people, and situations. You know, for your crew, your friends, your accountability partners, then you got $10,000. We're talking about five weekends. Five weekends. And you're debt-free. What I'm going to suggest is, and like I said, we're going to be doing this on a regular weekly basis, strategies to pay off your debt. Like I said, we'll bring on different people with different situations, with different type of loans that they had to pay back, or different type of debts that they had to pay back, from student loans, reverse mortgages, rent payments, you name it, it'll be on here. Along with a support group. And that way you get a variety of ideas that will keep your mind stimulated on how you can pay off debt, whatever debt that might be. So what I'm going to recommend is about 15 minutes after we conclude this live stream, you can go on Blog Talk Radio, and then you can replay this audio back as many times as you feel, because I put out a lot of information, so you might have to listen to it a couple of times. Just, you know, just maybe take one idea today and act on it. You know, like I say, you can one idea is just on a sheet of paper or on a back or on a napkin. You know, title it accountability plan for paying off whatever debt that you might have. And the first thing is why, W-H-Y. What's your why? Does it parallel to the guys that were facing eviction for Airbnb? That was their why. To avoid the embarrassment. To avoid being homeless. Whatever whys that might run through your head in that type of situation. Or whatever your situation that you might be. You need to write a strong enough why. Next thing is accountability part. Now, you might be in a situation, just like with the Airbnb guys, they were each other's de facto accountability partners. They didn't have to go outside of themselves. They were in that together. With the 2 Kings story, 2 Kings 4:1-7, the widow and her two sons, they were each other's accountability partners. Because if they didn't figure out a way to settle her husband's estate, their father's estate, then the two sons, first thing, she would have lost two sons, and number two, they would have been both in debt slavery. In any event, if you'd like to join us for our support group of strategies to pay off debt, or any information that you've heard here today, 863-999-6494. We'll be back tomorrow with another installment of It's My House, and we'll probably put out at least one kernel a day on strategies to pay off your debt, and we'll announce when we'll be, because I got to get together with my accountability partner so we can have live events that you can attend. If you can't attend in person, then you can hit us on Facebook Live or Zoom when we have that all arranged. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.